Well, I am combining my sermon and Mission India report this evening. My report on Mission India will kind of serve as a huge example of our passage, which is Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to mention a good chunk of Isaiah 55, but we're going to start with verses 10 and 11. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to that passage, and if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. This is His holy word. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would open our minds to your holy word from the prophet Isaiah about your word, and also to what you are doing in India and to the great need for the work there. Open our minds. Help us to respond rightly to you, unto your glory and honor, unto the advancement of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, verse 10 of this passage is a picture that we can relate to at this time of year here in the valley. We are in the season of rain and snow, which will water the earth, and that will bring forth a harvest to the sower. God uses that picture to describe His Word, the power of His Word, the fruitfulness of His Word. And I'm calling my first point this evening the Holy Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It brings forth a great harvest. God's Word accomplishes exactly what He wants it to accomplish. That is what Isaiah is telling us. And I ask you to think about that with me. Let's ask this question: why does the Word accomplish all of God's purpose? I'm going to give two reasons which are huge. They are hard to fully comprehend, and we could talk about them a long time, but I'm going to just quickly summarize them. Two reasons why the Word of God accomplishes all of God's purpose. One reason is this: Jesus is the Word. The Gospel of John opens with that deep truth. John 1, verses 1 and 2 say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14 we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word by which all things were created, and Jesus is the Word made flesh through which we are given new life. And so Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, my word, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. And Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of those statements help us understand why Isaiah says the Word of God shall accomplish His purpose. It shall succeed in the thing for which it is sent. Jesus is the Word. And a second related reason is this: the written Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The written Word, the Bible, is inspired by God. One passage in which we learn this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, which say, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In the Greek language, the word breath is the same word for spirit. And so this verse means the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Word. And the written Word is absolutely amazing. There's no other book like it. The Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years. It was written by over 40 different authors. It was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. It gives detailed prophecies fulfilled hundreds and thousands of years later. And the Spirit takes the Word and uses it to convict and draw people to Christ. Therefore, it is profitable. That's the second big reason The Word of God accomplishes all its purpose. It succeeds in doing what it was sent to do. That's my first point this evening from Isaiah 55 and related passages, and later we'll come back to Isaiah 55. Right now, I'm calling my second point the idols of India. We've considered the Word of God. Now let's consider the idols of India. As the group of pastors I was with, as we went around to various places in India, we saw the temples of their idols. And we saw depictions of their idols. Their idols permeate their culture. And that is devastating. Psalm 115 tells us this about all idols, including the idols of India. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. And the Apostle Paul tells us this devastating truth about all idols, including the idols of India. What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons, not to God. Dear friends, that's what's happening all over India. They have idols, gods they worship, gods who do not hear, do not speak. We had tour guides who were Hindus talking about their gods and beliefs, and as you listen to them, you realize they have no defined scriptures. They have myths, stories that have been passed down about this God and that God that can do nothing. When they worship the idols or make sacrifices to the idols or go to their witch doctors, they are worshiping demons. And they are enslaved to a system that involves a belief in karma and reincarnation and a related caste system. Karma is the sum of your actions during life. When you die, you are reincarnated according to their beliefs, and your status after you are reincarnated depends on your karma. So if you're part of a higher caste, well, that means you lived well in the previous life. You have good karma, so you deserve your high status. If you are currently part of a lower caste, well, that means you did not live very well in the previous life. You have bad karma. You are getting what you deserve. And if you are part of a lower caste, you will likely be poor. You might not be taught to read and write. It is your karma. And if you are in the lowest caste, then you are considered untouchable. I was told that those who are part of the lowest caste, the untouchables, can't even go to a temple to worship an idol. If they're caught in a temple, they could be killed. So those in the lowest caste also live in fear. So hopelessness comes easy in India. Imagine living with the belief that you are getting what you deserve because of bad karma. Now, the city of Varanasi is where you especially see the darkness of their idolatry. The city is located on the Ganges River, called Ganga on the map, because Hindus believe the river is a god of purification and forgiveness. That river, that god, is extremely important in Hinduism. But over the god of the river, over the whole city of Varanasi, is the god of Shiva. They have a trinity of gods that they believe to be the strongest of their gods, and one god of their trinity is Shiva. He is the god of destruction. We were told by our tour guide that he destroys sin. But you can also read that he is the god of destruction and recreation. This is a picture of his temple, and the view you're seeing in that picture is as close to it as we could get. It's located near the Ganges River. And according to Hindu belief, visiting the temple of Shiva and bathing in the Ganges River will give you good karma. They are significant steps on the way to freedom or moksha or nirvana, peace. Thus, Hindus from all over the country make an effort to visit Varanasi at least once in their lifetime. They believe the river is spiritually pure and will cleanse you from all your unknown sins when you dip yourself in it. So even though that river is one of the most polluted in the world, people travel to Varanasi to dip themselves in the river. In the year 2021, there were more than 3 million visitors to Varanasi. Some who live in Varanasi dip themselves in that river every day. Good karma. It is believed that if you die in the city of Varanasi or you have your ashes placed in the Ganges River, you will be liberated from the cycle of life and death, that cycle of reincarnation. You will reach nirvana. So here is a picture of someone's dead relative being burned by the river. People travel with their dead family members to the river. They pay to have special wood for burning, and the bodies are burned along the river. It's a bit strange to sit there and watch that event unfold. In this picture, you're looking at a pile of ash from fire. You're also seeing a cow because they're sacred and roam freely all over the place. The ladder-like structures you see in the background, I'm zooming in on one of them there, are what they use to carry their dead to the river. The city of Varanasi is dark and heavy. Behind Shiva are demons or Satan himself. The kingdom of Satan has a stronghold on that city. One of our leaders from Mission India said he prefers not to spend more than a day there. It's just dark and heavy. The city is the epitome of Hinduism in India. Now think about this with me. India is neck and neck with China for being the most populated country in the world. Both India and China have around 1.42 billion people, almost 1.5 billion people. The picture I'm showing you is a very common scene as you're driving around. Lots of people walking, lots of people riding some sort of transportation. Here is another street picture with some stats. As I just said, 1.42 billion people. And we learned that around 50% of the population is below the age of 25. Now, that's a staggering statistic, isn't it? Around 50% below the age of 25. Around 65% of the population below the age of 35. And in 2020, the average age was 29 years old. In comparison, the population of the United States is 334 million, and the average age is 38 years old. The largest age group in the U.S. is between 30 and 34 years old, just to give you some comparison. While we're talking about those numbers, I'll mention as well that India very well might be the largest English-speaking nation. Did you know that? I had no clue about that. Most of the educated speak English. There's 1.42 billion people there, far more than 334 million. So it very well might be the largest English-speaking nation. Most of the signs are in English in India. But anyway, there's a lot of young people in India and a lot of people, and 1.2 billion of them are Hindu. So Hindu permeates the culture. With that understood, I'm going to tell you about the work of Mission India. That's my next point, the work of Mission India. And I'm going to begin and end with a map. This map of India is from 2010. You can see that in the top left-hand corner, 2010. Each red dot of the map represents a community that is less than 2% Christian with no active church planting activity. And the map you can see is almost solid red. So a lot of people in India have never heard about Jesus, and they have no access to hearing about Jesus. Their only hope are the gods who cannot hear, cannot answer, and myths like dipping yourself in one of the most polluted rivers in the world or having your ashes put in that river will save you. So the red on the map represents spiritual darkness. I'm thankful to say Mission India is seeking to remove those red dots. The passionate goal of Mission India is the Great Commission, which we hear Jesus proclaim at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And to fulfill the Great Commission, their specific goal is planting churches. The two people pictured are church planters I met. Mission India wants every community to have a church that is preaching the gospel of Jesus. That is the main focused goal. And everyone we talked to from Mission India was passionate about that goal. Now, to plant a church is difficult. Persecution of Christians is rising. We met these two pastors who were recently in jail for preaching the gospel. Over half the states in India have anti-conversion laws, and those laws are used to imprison pastors. The leadership of India believes that by imprisoning pastors, the spread of Christianity will stop. But the persecution doesn't stop the Christians, and it doesn't stop Christ. Meeting and hearing these pastors was simply awesome. When the older pastor was put in prison, the other prisoners asked him why he was there. Older people don't usually get put into prison. So they were curious, why are you here? He told them he was there for preaching the gospel of Jesus, and he went on to tell them how Jesus died for them. They told him that he and Jesus must be bad. He must be bad because he's been put in prison, and Jesus must be bad because he was crucified. So the pastor asked them, let me ask you, have you ever sacrificed a goat to one of your gods? All the prisoners had done so. And he asked, well, how was that goat treated before you sacrificed it? Well, he said it was treated well. So the pastor said, it was a good goat, and you killed it. And the pastor said, so what did that goat do wrong to be killed? They had no answer. The prisoner said, no, you're confusing us. You're making us think. Eventually, the pastor was able, through his church, to provide blankets and Bibles for the other prisoners so that by the time he left prison, they were treating him like a family member, like a father. Putting him in prison didn't stop the gospel. It helped him spread the gospel. And he was thankful for that. He's still in danger of going back to prison. He's on bail right now, waiting for his court date. When the young man was put in prison, he was mistreated by the other prisoners. One night, as he was sleeping, many prisoners walked by and kicked him all over his body. He was severely injured, experiencing a lot of pain. He could barely walk. The prisoners mocked him and asked him if his God would heal him. He said his God would heal him. The prisoners said, great, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit here by you. We're going to watch you pray, and we're going to see if your God heals you. He said, okay. And he started praying. Prayed for 20 minutes. And as he prayed, more and more prisoners gathered around. They wanted to see what would happen. Suddenly, he could sense that God had healed him. He could feel his body was strong again. So he stopped praying. The prisoners asked, well, did your God heal you? And he said, yes. And then he got up and showed them that he could walk around with no pain. The prisoners were shocked and started to listen to him. He had the opportunity to preach the gospel to more than 1,000 prisoners. Nothing stops Christ from building his church. His word will accomplish all that he desires it to. But because Hinduism is such a strong part of the culture, and because persecution is rising, planting churches is hard. Communities don't want Christians. They don't want churches. So Mission India is leading two other ministries that help Christians befriend communities, preach the gospel, and plant churches. Those two ministries are children's clubs and adult literacy classes. Both of those ministries are well received, and the ministries help get church planters into the communities. They also provide a lot of needed help to the people. Mission India is largely working with people in the lower castes. They're working with the poor. They're working with those who are struggling. And these two ministries are very well thought out, very professional. The ministries are supplying needs for the poor and preaching Christ. Children's clubs are after-school programs that provide a safe place for children to be, in which they continue to learn subjects and are taught about basic hygiene and health care. They play games, and of course, they hear about Jesus. On the screen is the children's club I visited. Remember, 50% of the people are under the age of 25, so there are a lot of children in India. And parents love the fact that their children will have a safe place to go to make friends and learn. So communities welcome these children's clubs. Some children's clubs are 10 days long, others are 1 year long. Adult literacy classes are exactly what the name states. People are taught to read, write, do basic math, and they also learn about basic health care. These classes protect them from getting taken advantage of in the market. It helps them start a small business, and these classes are helping people no one else will teach. I'm going to give you some examples. On the screen is the class I visited. I'm going to zoom in on one person. If you met this girl, you could easily assume she was around 12 or 13 years old. She's actually 18 years old. She has a medical condition that keeps her from maturing at a normal rate. For that reason, she couldn't go to school. No one would teach her. She was thankful to be in that class to learn. Here's another picture. Again, I'm going to zoom in on one person. This woman didn't decide to sit in this picture. That's her constant position. She's not able to stand. She walks by shuffling around on the ground like that. And again, because of her condition, she had no opportunity to learn. The only people who will teach her how to read and write are Christians reaching out through adult literacy ministry. All these people are so happy to learn. And for that reason, the classes are welcomed by the community. The students not only learn how to read and write, they learn about Jesus. Notice the books that they're holding in that picture. Both the children's clubs and the adult literacy classes are provided with excellent material, which I'll tell you more about in a moment. By the way, everywhere we visited, we were greeted with flowers. You see the orange flowers around our necks. That's a common way of showing honor and greeting someone. The goal of every adult literacy class is that 30% of the people will be baptized. So the classes are another avenue for church planting. As I said earlier, church planting is the ultimate goal. Mission India wants to make disciples of Jesus. They want to plant churches in every community so that people have the opportunity to hear the gospel and grow in Christ in their relationship with Christ, be disciples. So we also had the joy of attending a church plant. On the screen is the church plant I visited. On the top left is the preacher. The preacher is the one holding the book. The other man was translating for us. This was a very young church plant, only 4 months old, so not a lot of people gathered in that house. But that community now has the opportunity to hear about Jesus, become a Christian, and be disciples. Now, all three ministries I have told you about are happening all over India. The work is being done by Christians in India, and they're trained by Mission India. That's a lot of training, a lot of organization, a lot of material in different dialects, and a lot of shipping of material. So now I'll tell you about the main office in India. It's located in the city of Hyderabad. You can see it's a big complex. 110 Christian employees from India are working there. All the planning, training, organization, payments of support money, making of and shipping of material for the children's clubs and adult literacy classes comes out of that main office. It would take me too long to tell you about all of the various departments. I'm simply going to tell you I was shocked by the size and the scope of the work. And it's all very organized, professional, and passionate for the Great Commission. We were taken to each department and introduced to the staff and what they were doing. And I'm going to show you just a few pictures. These two pictures are from the adult literacy department. What I want you to understand is that they have stated goals and stated achievements hanging in their office. They have adult literacy classes happening all over India. They track them. They know what's going on. This is what I mean when I say the work is professional, it's organized, it's passionate. They are setting very defined goals, and they're reaching the goals. I also want to show you this picture. This is the department where they create the material they use for the children's clubs and the adult literacy classes. They create the entirety of their materials. They create the graphics, the lessons, the translations. They design it. They have it printed. And I'll show you this picture. This is a picture of their warehouse. This warehouse is very deep, and it is full of the children's club and adult literacy material that will be shipped all over India. So I hope I'm helping you grasp that this work is massive. 110 people working at that main office to support all the church planters and adult literacy teachers and children's club leaders that are happening all over India. And the work is reaching people for Christ. Earlier, I showed you a map of India from 2010. Here now is a map of India from 2022. It's not nearly as red. Here are both maps for comparison. People are coming to Christ. Churches are being planted. The Word of God is going out and is succeeding at accomplishing its purpose. Idols are being turned away from. The true God is being worshipped, and lives are being transformed. People are finding hope in the midst of hopelessness. Listen to some more verses from Isaiah. I think you'll understand them without me saying much. Isaiah 55 starts this way. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. The poor people of India, the people from the low caste, the people no one wants to teach, they are eating the richest of food without money, without cost. And here is one of the final verses of Isaiah 55. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That joy, that peace, that glory to Christ Jesus is moving through India. God's word is not failing. It's accomplishing all its purpose. As part of our tour, we got to see the Taj Mahal, which is beautiful. They have to set up these trips, by the way, as a tour trip. They can't go in as a Christian group. We're simply on a tour. We have tour guides. So we went to the Taj Mahal, which is beautiful. Pictures really don't capture the beauty of it. Today, it would cost nearly $1 billion to build the Taj Mahal. Did you know that it's merely a tomb? That's what it is. It's a tomb. In the middle of the Taj Mahal, an emperor and his third wife are buried. The emperor who built the Taj Mahal, he's buried there with his third wife. It's a tomb. So who will be happier for all eternity? The emperor who had the wealth to build the Taj Mahal, or a person who hears of and believes in Jesus? Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, the water of life. He who has no money, come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich food. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, thank you for your people in India who are passionate to spread the gospel, build churches, meet the needs of people, minister to children. Thank you for those pastors who are willing to face being in prison. Thank you that you've given them the eyes, the minds, the mind, the heart to recognize that when in prison, they have the opportunity to minister to many others. We pray, Father, that you would bless the older pastor who's out on bail, that your will would be done in his life, whatever that might be. Use him powerfully for your glory. Help the other young pastor as well. Help them with their churches that also face ramifications. Bless all the other pastors and churches that are facing the same. We thank you, Father, that the work is being done. We thank you for your word, which is not returning void. May your name continue to be proclaimed. May people continue to come and follow you, know you, love you, and be saved by the blood of your Son. And to your glory and honor, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.